Hey, Smutters.
Hey.
Oh, that was so tame.
Well, I'm a tame person.
After those first few takes, you are now. Oh. How's your week been?
It's been long. Drury. Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I got to, actually, my week has kind of sucked. But remember last week when I was sick, y'all? Guess what? It was COVID.
Again.
But I'm good now. Also, got a text last night from our daughter, right? Mm-hmm. We're sitting here watching TV, and I get a text, and it says, "Will you give Soft Kitty a bath?" In case y'all don't know, that's her cat. And I was like, what? You're supposed to... I didn't know you were supposed to bathe cats, you know? And I was like, no. And she begged and begged and begged. So finally I was like, okay, but you have to run the water and all that. And, you know, I'll bathe her. Well, I don't know how to do that. And I was like, shit. So... I got a nice bath, ran for Soft Kitty.
Soft Kitty.
And I put her in. She did not love it. You know when a cat falls and they try to grab something with their claws? Mm-hmm. That was my arm last night. Mm. Had claws stuck in my arm. That was super fun. Meanwhile, our daughter is standing there laughing the whole time. Like, she's loving this. The poor cat... Oh my gosh. She is clean and fluffy now. She got scrubbed down. She didn't like it. You know, I don't get when you give animals baths, when you like do their head and you have to pour water on them. Their eyes are wide open when you do. Like, they don't think to close their eyes. So the whole time I was trying to like clean her head, her eyes were just staring at me. Like, what are you doing? But that was definitely a new experience and one I do not want to do for a while again. But other than that, you know, we've been watching Smallville. What's that show you've been watching?
Don't make me say it.
What?
Obliterated.
Obliterated.
I can't pronounce it for some reason.
It's a show on Netflix, and it's actually, like, I haven't watched it until today, and it's actually pretty funny, you guys. So, if you need something funny to watch, check it out on Netflix.
But do not watch it with the kids. It is not age appropriate.
No, definitely do not do that. But, and then I watched a couple Christmas movies today. I watched The Santa Claus.
Did you?
With Tim Allen.
Oh, yeah.
But.
That was a good movie.
It was a good movie. I don't know why we don't ever watch it. Yeah, like I just saw it on Disney Plus and sponsors Disney Plus. And I was like, you know what? I think I've seen that a few times. And I put it on there and it was really, really good. I loved it. So anyway, do you know what the story is about tonight?
I do not.
We are going to talk about...
Sex.
Baby... No, we're going to talk about the Bridgewater Triangle. We have talked about the Wold-Newton Triangle.
The what?
The Wold-Newton Triangle, the one in England, I believe. And it's like a big triangle of land that has a ton of paranormal and supernatural stuff going on in there. Well, this, the Bridgewater Triangle, is actually in America. And it's kind of like the Wold-Newton Triangle. It's got some crazy stuff going on there. And that is what we are going to do.
Oh.
So, let's dive on in.
Dive on in.
If you go 30 miles south of Boston, you run straight into the strange and weird Bridgewater Triangle. It covers 200 square miles and is a host of paranormal sightings, happenings, and mysterious phenomena. reports of UFOs, encounters with Bigfoot, massive snakes, ghosts on the trails, sneaky and dangerous cryptids like the Puckwudgies, and pterodactyls with huge wingspans.
Pterodactyls
or thunderbirds. Along with giant orbs of light, poltergeists, and shadow people. It holds time slips and opens a vortex that swallows the unaware. Imagine you're driving along just after midnight on Route 44 in Rehoboth. All of a sudden, a man with a bright red hair and a red flannel shirt jumps in front of your car and you slam on the brakes and tense up waiting for the crash. But it never happens. You get out of the car and look around and no one is there. And then you remember, you are in the belly of the Bridgewater Triangle. It has produced enough paranormal tales or encounters to fill a library, even the one of the red-headed hitchhiker. Locals and visitors alike will tell you, here, the weird is normal. The repulsive is the allure, and where the unexplainable is usually part of the explanation. Quote, the land has something to it that's spoiled, that's just not right, says Christopher Bolzano, a folklorist who has written several books on the triangle. It's not just the trees, it's not just the grass, and it's not just the creatures that live there. This land seems to be alive. The triangle was drawn up in the 1970s by cryptozoologist Lauren Coleman. He was investigating cases of high weirdness, or his wall of weird, in and around Hockomock Swamp. Hockomock Swamp.
Say that 9 times.
After the findings were published, the region's popularity took off among thrill seekers and investigators. One cryptic spot is Onawan Rock in the Freetown State Forest. Balzano said, site of the capture that led to the end of the King Philip's War in 1676. He also said he's seen ghost fires near the rock. He's heard voices and even been pushed by unknown forces. All that stuff is there, which is one reason why people are so drawn to it. It confirms their own ideas about the paranormal. Lots of people think King Philip's War, a conflict between English colonists and Native Americans that is considered the bloodiest war per capita in U.S. history, as a spark for the triangle's haunting. Some experts say the paranormal phenomena is caused from the power and energy itself, not from a traumatic event. But you know what?
What?
There is an Indian burial ground. I feel like all of our haunted stories, somewhere in there, there's a Native burial ground. You know it?
Probably.
I mean, there really is. So the lesson here is do not mess with burial grounds. Whatever is here and whatever comprises the triangle, it's something that's always been here, expert Tim Weisberg says. I think all these things that people are looking at, whether it be King Philip's War or what have you, they're all just symptoms of the triangle. So basically they add to it. Weisberg has had many unexplained encounters during the investigations. At War Memorial Park in West Bridgewater, he has seen shadow people, pitch black, three-dimensional figures moving through a tunnel. He says it's like a paranormal Disney World. Scary. That's so scary, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. There's an old quarry in the middle of the forest, now known as The Ledge, which is the epicenter of a lot of the paranormal reports there. UFOs, many, many suicides, a lady of the ledge, etc. The granite pulled out of this area was used to build the Taunton State Hospital, which was a psychiatric facility, the grounds of which are apparently haunted, as well as a few mansions in Newport, Rhode Island, also apparently haunted. The forest apparently the home to Puckwudgies, who are tricksters, earth elemental spirits, much like trolls or elves, from Wampanoag myth. There continue to be Pukwudgie sightings to this day, and we're going to get more into the Pukwudgies. The area most famous, however, for its association with dark, murdery crimes. In the late 70s, the body of a high school cheerleader was found tied to a tree. Just a year or so later, the forest was known to be the playground of Carl Drew, Robin Murphy, and their satanic cult, allegedly committing ritualistic murders in an ice shack found deep in the woods. Detectives also uncovered an underground bunker complete with a toys, dolls, and a child's chair with restraints. Weird occurrences and crimes have continued over the last 30 years, including the murder of a hobo, two guys being shot, hazardous waste dumping, roving packs of aggressive dogs, mutilated calves drained of blood, a wandering emu, and as recently as 2015, some was stringing wire between trees to harm the bikers. Now, let me find my article. This place is crazy, right?
Crazy, crazy.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Sorry, I've got several articles and it takes me a minute to pull them up.
Ooh, should have come prepared.
I did.
Mm-mm-mm. You want me to tell a joke while we're waiting?
Oh, you told me a joke earlier. Okay. So, for years, ghost hunters and paranormal experts alike have flocked to the Bridgewater Triangle. Let's see. At the center of the triangle is Hockomock Swamp, the largest swampland in New England, and one that is rich in animal, plant, and geologic diversity. The dense surroundings mean that it's a very difficult place to navigate, which leads some to believe that certain creatures could lurk in the swamp undetected. The Wampanoag tribe gave the spot the name Hockomock, which means place where spirits dwell, and colonial settlers called it the Devil's Swamp. Some of the strange sightings reported here include various flying creatures and ghosts, and according to the book Weird New England, Bigfoot sightings have also occurred in the swamp. The book contends that the creatures are generally calm, but that at one point in the 1970s, one went haywire, killing pigs and sheep belonging to the local farmers. Police with attack dogs searched the swamp for 2 days, but found no sign of the Bigfoot creature. Visitors to the Tonton State Hospital have reported strange happenings, including having their shoulders and legs touched and pulled when entering certain areas of the hospital. There were areas of the hospital that were allegedly used by satanic cults in the 60s and 70s. Visitors to the Tonton State Hospital have reported strange happenings, including having their shoulders... I just said that. Oh.
Oh my gosh. Get with
what is my problem?
Jan, come on.
At the opposite end of the forest, the Asinet Ledge has its own set of legends. The remote location has reportedly been the site of ghosts standing atop the ledge and leaping before disappearing. Let's see. Nearby, on Copycat Road, travelers have reported a truck driver following them too closely and honking his horn, making wild motions with his arms. The truck then disappears. The legend is somewhat obscure, according to some, and in 2006, on the Bridgewater Triangle, a local resident who owns a farm off the road told Globe reporter Brian McQuarrie, "It's news to me." The one-room Horbon School, located in Rehob, I'm sorry, Massachusetts.
Oh,
I know, they're going to come get me. How do you say that, though? Rehoboth? We're going to say it. It's said to be haunted by its former inhabitants. Built in the 1840s, the school was in active use until 1937. However, visitors are allowed to visit the school on certain Sundays during the summer and by appointment. Over the years, visitors have reported hearing voices and other spectra in the school. Some believe the spirits were awakened when the structure was renovated in 1968 to celebrate the town's anniversary. There is a stretch along Route 44 in Seekonk where the red-headed hitchhiker has become a phenomenon. Now, motorists have reported seeing a man with long red hair and a full beard walking along the roadside. But when they stop to pick him up, the man disappears. Others have allegedly reported driving through the spirit and even having picked him up before his disappearance. Now, I heard on other podcasts that I was listening to about this that sometimes they will be driving, and if there's an open spot in the car, they'll look over and he'll be sitting there staring at them. And then, like, he'll scream at them before he disappears in the car. Cool.
Somebody yells at me in my car.
They better be paying some bills. Okay. Let's talk about the Pukwudgies. Now, we're going to talk about the sightings, actually. Sometimes people write about strange experiences they've had. Just weeks ago, a woman called Mary sent an email about a weird encounter she had while walking her dog. Mary lives in Norwell and was taking care of a friend's large Labrador retriever while the friend was traveling. The dog would wake Mary up every morning between 4 and 5 to take it for a walk. Mary would usually bring the dog to a small nearby watershed, a patch of woods and swamp for its morning bathroom use, I guess. Mary and the dog went on these early morning walks for a few weeks without anything strange happening. But that changed on March 1st. It was pitch black. And as they walked on a road near the watershed, the dog stopped in its tracks and let out a low growl. Had it seen a raccoon or maybe a coyote? Feeling nervous about being alone in the dark with a wild animal nearby, Mary looked around to see what startled the dog. It was not a raccoon or a coyote. It was something much stranger. Crouched near the woods was a small humanoid creature. It was covered in what looked like matted black fur. Mary thought the creature stared at her with glowing green eyes, but isn't sure if she just imagined this detail. Whatever the creature was, it was something she had never seen before. She and the dog ran home. A few days later, the dog went home to its owner, and Mary thought that was the end of her strange experience. But on the night of March 13th, Mary heard some unusual sounds coming from outside her house. It sounded as though something were quietly but insistently tapping on the side of her house or even possibly on the window. At first, Mary thought maybe her daughter had locked herself out of the house, but that was just not the case. She was safely inside.
Damn cute.
I know. Nervously, Mary's thoughts then turned to the small humanoid she had seen near the woods. Was it outside her house, tapping on the walls and the windows? The next day, she talked with some people at work about what had been happening, and one of them suggested she had encountered a Pukwudgie. Pukwudgie is a one name for the small...
Hockey term?
Hmm?
Hockey?
That's what I thought of, too. That'd be a good hockey team. It's a name for a small, hairy, magical humanoid that are said to live in the woods in New England.
Oh, so like you.
Kind of. Basically, they are a type of fairy. Not a pretty tutu-wearing fairy like Tinkerbell, but scragglier. Rough around the edges fairy. They're the type of fairy you'd expect to see in the woods around here, which are rough, rocky, and filled with poison ivy. Pukwudgie is something of a modern term, at least in New England. The Native Americans in New England had other names for these beings. I cannot pronounce these, so I'm not going to. Pukwudgie was originally a word used by the Ojibwa Indians of the Midwest to describe the small magical beings they encountered. But it has since become a popular word in New England, and particularly in Massachusetts. Pukwudgies are believed to be mischievous at best and malevolent at worst. Traditionally, the local Native Americans believed that the little people would help humans if treated with respect. That is not the case with Pukwudgies, who supposedly like to shoot people with darts and lure them off of cliffs, and in general, lurk around and frighten anyone who encounters them. Mary's encounter is similar to several other well-known Pukwudgie encounters. For example, in 1990, a Raynham, Massachusetts man named Bill Russo was walking his dog late at night near some woods when he saw a small, hairy, humanoid creature which tried to lure him in the woods. Now, while he was walking his dog, he saw the humanoid creature, and it's funny. He says that he stopped and saw it. He was in shock, you know? And while he was standing there trying to figure out what it was, it spoke to him. And it was trying to speak English, is what he said. It was saying, "Kier, kier, he wants you." What does that sound like to you? Mm-hmm. See, a lot of people think that it's saying, come here, we want you, you know? So, but it kept saying, it was like motioning. It was like, "Kier, kier, he wants you." And he definitely declined the offer. And he said that he wasn't scared, but since his dog Samantha was scared, they took off running. But I don't know. I, you know, Pukwudgies are known in that part, and I feel like he probably knew the myth. They're not nice creatures, so I would probably run the other way too. A woman named Joan was walking her dog in the Freetown State Forest when she noticed someone watching her. It was a small, gray-skinned humanoid with hairy arms and a hairy head, and it stared at her with deep green eyes. And after encountering the Pukwudgie in the woods, Joan noticed the Pukwudgie lurking around her house several times, and apparently it had followed her home. Now, Mary tried to get some advice, and the best advice she got to get it away from her house was just to ignore it. Act like it's not there. And she said eventually, you know, it stopped and it went away. So that's the best advice that I can give about Pukwudgies. We can definitely do a full episode on the history of Pukwudgies because I just like saying their names. And I've got a picture I will post on Instagram so you can see that. Now, next, let's talk about the creatures that are found inside the triangle. Let's see. In 1988, two boys followed a pair of giant three-toed footprints into the swamp. To their horror, they came upon a massive bird-like creature that neither had ever witnessed the likes of in their life. The winged monster caught a glimpse of the two boys and took off straight into the air. The frightened youths ran for their lives, later ranting their story to the police and neighbors. And it was concluded that the two youths witnessed a great blue heron, a very large bird native to the New England area. The children swore the creature they saw was much larger than any heron, being more the size of a tall man with a half-human features. The story was almost laughable until someone remembered another similar sighting. This one was by a well-respected and notable Norton police sergeant named Thomas Downey. In 1971, as Sergeant Downey was driving home along Winter Street in Marshfield, he came upon a giant creature standing at the edge of the swamp, and according to the officer, it resembled a bird but stood over 6 feet tall. The creature moved towards the car and then flew straight up away from the vehicle. It had a wingspan of about 8 to 12 feet in length. When other officers arrived at the scene, a few large three-toed footprints were all that was found as the evidence of such a creature. Oddly enough, the sighting was at a place called Bird Hill, where the indigenous people spoke frequently of a legendary thunderbird. Their ancestors claim the great bird lived in the swamp, and to this day, it apparently still does. Thunderbirds are not solely responsible for the cryptid sightings within Bridgewater Triangle. A more famous and often talked about monster is reported to roam the area. It is the creature affectionately known as Bigfoot, Yeti, or Sasquatch. In 1970, residents reported seeing a hairy, 7-foot monster running through their yards, sometimes on all four legs. Local and state police conducted a lengthy manhunt for a giant bear, yet no such animal was ever spotted or captured. On April 8, 1970, two officers were parked in a police cruiser near the swamp. Suddenly, the rear end of the car lifted into the air and then dropped with a loud bang. The officers quickly spun the car around and trained their spotlight on something hairy, resembling a bear, as it ran on two legs behind a house. A thorough search of the area commenced, but no bear or any other creature was ever found. A hunter once shot at a large animal in the woods that ran off and gave a half-human, half-animal cry. I'm going to stop right there. Could you imagine being a hunter and shooting at something and hearing a human cry?
No.
Like, what would that, could, like, what if you shot and then you hear, damn it, you know?
I would run and pretend like I was never there.
I'd be like, they did not see me. But could you just imagine? Later, he found brown hair and blood on some leaves among the path the creature fled down. A woman in West Bridgewater heard a noise one night in her yard. She looked out her window and saw a large bipedal creature eating a pumpkin in her garden. The hairy animal looked at her through the window with reddish orange eyes, then with a grunt, took off with the pumpkin into the woods. A Triangle resident, Joseph M. DeAndre, spent decades collecting reports of the creature. The average lifespan of a wild bear is about 5 to 7 years. 15 years would be extremely unlikely, and 30 years in the wild is impossible. So what is out there roaming along the outskirts of the human population? Do you think it's a Bigfoot?
Of course it's a Bigfoot.
Now...
Or a Yeti.
Well, that's pretty much the same thing.
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
They're different.
Now, there have also been reportings of gigantic snakes in... the big swamp, like huge snakes that should not be there.
Yeah, I showed you videos on Instagram.
Is that in the Bridgewater Triangle? Oh. Mm-hmm. There have also been reportings of large black dogs with red eyes. And there have been reportings of large, like, what in the craziness is that?
Crocs.
There have been reportings of, like, not lions, but, like, basically, I don't want to say cats, but in the cat family, you know what I mean? But animals that should not be in Massachusetts, that should probably be in Africa or somewhere like that. Like, all these animals are over here. There have also been a lot of satanic cults there, as I read earlier. And this place is crazy, y'all. Let's see. I've got a couple more stories that I found. Let's see. I went to Reddit. Reddit's my favorite. I absolutely love Reddit. Mm-hmm. Here's one from Darth Varda. I live in the Bridgewater Triangle, Lovecraft Country, a roughly 200 square miles chunk of land that's been psychologically cordoned off into an imaginary triangle in the wonky southern part of Massachusetts. It's eerie, foreboding, and filled with little rivulets and swamps and a mist that rolls in at dawn and stays, refusing to dissipate with the sun, sticking strong and thick. All sorts of creepy happenings are said to take place within the invisible boundaries of the triangle, and I myself have heard almost all of them. The ones about the sacrifices and the Satanists, the ghosts and the laughter, the half-hidden beasts squelching through the bogs, and the strange lights hovering low before disappearing straight into the sky. It's sort of a hobby of mine collecting these stories. I like watching them change, evolve, grow. Yes, I've heard almost all the tales about Bridgewater Triangle, but there is one I haven't heard before. At least, haven't heard another version of. Mine. Hockomock Swamp. I know. Sounds fake, right? A week and a half ago, I decided to camp out there after I was told an incredible tale of an otherworldly being sighted near the center of the swamp. I wanted to check it out for myself, try and capture it with my camera. My source said it had glowing purple eyes and scaly emerald skin. Granted, my source was an acquaintance from high school, but still, my curiosity got the best of me. The night started off normal enough. The swamp seemed peaceful, nice even. I had specifically picked a night when the moon was full and bright, giving me light enough to see, as I made my way to the center, maneuvering around sinkholes and mud pits. The wind shifted as I neared my destination, and suddenly I felt scared, like I was being watched, and I couldn't stop looking behind me, making sure that I was truly alone. It was on the third time I looked behind me that I heard it, starting up so slowly at first. I thought it was the wind, but as it grew louder, I realized it wasn't anything natural at all, that it was completely unnatural. A weird buzzing, like a crowd of people all talking at the same time, and lower, underneath the buzzing, was a deep singing sound. Chanting, maybe. It was odd. Panicked, I looked around me, and that's when I saw the tree. Sturdy, tall. I climbed up it, and I tied myself safe with the rope I'd brought along. The noise around me became louder until it crescendoed into a violent crashing sound, and I watched from my perch as three trees fell in quick succession, 40 or 50 feet to the left of me, like they were being pulled down. I waited, my breath caught somewhere between the nape of my neck and my mouth, hoping that tonight wasn't my last. I saw a weird flash of light where the trees had fallen, blinding me. I rubbed my eyes and squinted in the darkness, seeing nothing and hearing only the rustling leaves in the wind. And for minutes, it was silent. And then I heard something totally recognizable. The sound of footsteps, crunching slowly in the dirt. They got closer and closer, and my heartbeat accelerated until I was sure its sound would give me away. And then I saw it, a monstrosity in black, bulbous eyes shuffling along. I screamed. I couldn't help it. It jumped and yelled then. In the moment of silence that followed, both our exclamations, we looked at each other, sizing each other up. And then I saw that it was just a guy. He was wearing an amazingly dirty black suit, a mask that made him look like a bug, and was carrying a black duffel bag, and it jangled when he moved. "Why the hell are you up here?" he called to me. His voice was slightly muffled through the mask. "Why the hell are you walking around Hockomock in the dark covered in dirt? He looked down at himself, the mask and shadows obscuring his expression, but he appeared to be thinking. He looked back up. The round, tinted glasses covering his eyes flickered in the light of the moon. "You know, that's an excellent question," he said, and hiked the bag up to a more comfortable spot on his shoulder. It looked heavy. "Guess that's why they call me Spooky." "Well, one of the reasons." "Spooky? Seriously, what are you, like Mulder or something?" "Who?" I gasped audibly, feeling my stomach drop as the weight of it dawned on me. I held the trunk close and said slowly, you're not going to, like, do anything to me, are you?" "What?" Shock clear and vibrant in his voice. No. He took a deep breath and said in a measured tone, "Why are you even out here alone? Do your parents know you're here?" "It's my grandma, and yeah, she does. She gave me this." I held out my keychain mace. The weight of it in my hand made me feel safer, bold, so watch yourself. The man hiked back up hiked the bag back up again and said, I'm not going to do anything to you. And then he added, slightly exasperated, also, I'm wearing a gas mask. Oh, yeah. Well, and suddenly cutting me off, the sinister buzzing rose up again, louder, angrier. And then the whooping began, like someone coughing or calling out. It was guttural, heart-piercing sound. There it is again. What is that? The man looked over his shoulder. His voice was urgent. You should come down now. Now. I hesitated, looking around me, fear rising with the bile in my throat. I saw a movement and looked below. The man had set his bag down and was taking off his gas mask. His face was now visible in the moonlight, and he spoke to me again, his voice unobscured and low. You're going to have to trust me and come down. Our eyes met, and I did. I trusted him. I climbed down as the sound boiled around us, filling my ears, rattling around in my head, disorienting me, making me stagger. And then it was gone. And the silence rang out around us, louder than anything I've ever heard before. And suddenly, my head was clear again, and I stood straight. Why is it always the triangles, I heard him say. I mean, every sinister, strange, scary place is blah triangle. The triangle is a very occult shape, I said, shaking my head a bit, then pulling my rope from the tree. 3 points, 4 elements, all-encompassing. Makes sense why the paranormal and supernatural would be drawn, or at least associated with it. And then there's all that New World Order nonsense, all-seeing eye, Freemasons, the chevron, the female form. Shall I continue? He looked at me impressed. How old are you, kid? I looked up at him, eyebrows raised. He sighed, clearly frustrated, and rolled his eyes. 15, I said, laughing, rotating the rope up from my elbow to my hand. Just like Dad taught me before he died. I tied it off and shoved it into my backpack. What's that? He said, pointing to the glowing blue light in my back. Oh, it's a handheld gaming device. I'm playing X. I'm at the part where you get to catch one of the legendary birds. I started with Finnegan, so it's Zapdos, a lightning bird. Like, ever heard of the Thunderbird? He nodded, slowly, his face unreadable. Yeah, it's kind of like that thing. You have to follow it around. It doesn't let you catch it easily. My voice trailed off. Sorry, I was excited. Sounds like my kind of game, he said. A loud snap echoed through the small clearing we were standing in, a branch breaking. He looked behind us, visibly worried, and said, come on, let's move. We walked for a good amount of time without hearing anything unusual, but the man kept looking behind us. It seemed like he was trying to keep us cool and keep me calm and talking. It worked, and I appreciate that. Otherwise, I would have been scared out of my mind. So is your name really Spooky? He laughed and then said, no, just a nickname. Real name's Cooper. Cooper? I looked at him questioningly. Like D.B. Cooper? He shook his head. Dale Cooper? Nope, he said. First name's Cooper, last name's Classified. Okay, Cooper Classified. He didn't say anything, but I could see him smile in the dim light. So what exactly are you doing out in Hockomock, Mr. Classified? I asked, glancing at him out of the corner of my eye. He was looking behind us again, and his brows furrowed like he was listening intently. Well, I could ask you the same thing, he said finally. I didn't respond. That noise, I am looking for the source of it, seeing what it's up to, you know, research, observation, that sort of thing. So you're like a real-life Foundation agent then? Foundation? It's like the online writing group that writes fictional horror stories about these scary, weird anomalies. Sometimes really dangerous things. They contain, they protect, and stuff like that. Never heard of it. And why would you want to contain and protect all anomalies? That's asinine. Sounds like a disaster waiting to happen. Gotta terminate at least some of them. Most probably. He looked at me. Right? I don't know. I think it's actually pretty cool. Yeah? Well, that's just your opinion, kid. So do you work for some shadowy agency then? A collective? A cabal? Or are you just some crazy, dark, gently styled detective? I can neither confirm nor deny any of that, he grinned. Then said, so many damn questions. Anything else you'd like to know? Can I wear your gas mask? He looked down at it and back at me and then held it out. Sure. I slid it on, smiling. The word I was about to say was knocked out of my mouth in a whoosh of hot air. I felt myself thrown backwards, my back slamming hard against the ground, knocking the mask off. I heard a loud, clanging noise and opened my eyes. The man had dropped his bag and was swiftly slinging something across his back. It looked like a large metallic backpack with a long hose attached. He pulled a tiny rectangle from his pocket and flicked it. And suddenly I realized what was going on and what he was doing and what the light was I saw earlier. He lit the flamethrower and blasted it outwards. In its light, I saw an enormous black and purple blob. It looked like a globule of water contained by a thin, slimy membrane. And oh God, there were so many hands and arms and faces reaching out, screaming together. And as the flame hit it, a thick steam rose up, putrid and sweet. I flailed out for the mask and slammed it back onto my head, trying to suppress the vomit threatening to explode out. The blob screamed and laughed and cried, slowly, slowly wobbling away from us, back towards the murky waters of the swamp. And yet, he kept on the flamethrower, burning it, evaporating it, until, with a gut-wrenching pop, it exploded into a geyser of goo that pattered down over the water, mimicking the rat-tat-tat of rapid fire. I sat panting a few feet from him, my mouth wide open. I closed it suddenly and whispered, "I just thought of a new nickname for you." "Oh yeah, let's hear it." He was slightly out of breath and his tattered, scorched jacket flapped loudly in the wing. "Super Cooper." He looked at me expressionless. The pilot light of the flamethrower flickered, and in its glow, I saw him smile. I ran over to my porch where Grandma stood waiting. Even from her stance, I could tell she was livid. I pulled off the gas mask and walked over to her, head down, shoulders slumped, waiting for the tirade to begin. And it did. Oh, it did. And then from behind me, I heard a voice. "Hello, ma'am. I'm sorry to interrupt. You're right in being worried. I saw your granddaughter here walking on the side of the road and thought she could use a lift back home. Dangerous times we live in." "And who exactly are you?" "Undercover detective, ma'am. Can't disclose that information." But he opened his ruined jacket and held out an incredibly accurate copy of a sheriff's badge. He snapped it shut. "Gotta run, ma'am. You have a good night." Grandma smiled sweetly and said thank you and waved at him. As he walked away, I trailed behind him, watching as he slid back into his jacket pocket, and I hissed, "You know that's illegal, right?" He shrugged, glancing to the left, and said, "Kid, my life is illegal." "Wow," I said, "that was dramatic." And he looked back at me, smiling. "Yeah, it was, wasn't it?" I heard Grandma call me, and I ran back, and she pointed to the gas mask I left on the front porch and had some more words with me. "All set?" he asked as I approached again. "Grandma wants me to tell you you look like a young FDR Jr." I think she meant JFK Jr., but she insisted it was FDR Jr., so yeah, there's that. You know, it's not the first time someone's grandma said that. Guess I just look like a junior. He shrugged, pulled on his helmet, and threw a leg over his motorcycle, sitting down and starting it. "Hey," I said, holding out the gas mask, "what about this?" "Keep it. You might need it sometime." He flipped down his visor, revved the engine, and pulled away. "Thanks, Super Cooper," I called after him. He threw up a thumb and then waved. I watched his image fade into the foggy night and stood listening long after until the roar of his engine finally died away. I wondered where he was going. 2 days, I went back to Hockomock, gas mask in my backpack. I got there in the afternoon, so it wasn't quite as scary, but there was still something sinister about the place, like it was hiding some dark secrets. I heard a bubbling sound, the swamp releasing some gas, nothing more, and kept walking, checking the path behind me every so often just in case. After a few minutes, I heard another sound, an eerie sound, coughing noise, and then the splashing, like someone was thrashing the shallow, murky waters around me. I froze, remembering what Mr. Classified had told me before we left the swamp, that I should stay away, or at least not return at night again. I turned around to leave, and I should have just kept walking, kept my back to it. But I chanced to glance back, and I swear I saw a flash of emerald at three eyes, purple, glowing, staring back at me from the gloomy waters of the swamp. And that was it.
Ooh.
Oh, so Super Cooper turned out to be pretty cool. And that story also, they're talking about a lot of noises going on. I heard that you can hear random screams in the forest, random laughing chants, probably from the Native Americans that were massacred there. A lot of just eerie stuff, you guys. Now, if you have ever been to the Bridgewater Triangle, that's just a little tidbit of what goes on there. There's so much more that we could do side stories on, which we probably will. But that last story was a bit long-winded, so I wanted to kind of give y'all a taste of what's going on there. And eventually, like I said, we will get into the history and all that. So thank you guys for joining us. I've been wanting to do this story for a while. I hope you guys enjoyed it. And do you have anything you need to add?
No, I think I'm good.
You're good?
I think so.
All right, you guys, layer up. Christmas is on the way, so I hope you're on that nice list. Drink lots of water and make good choices. We'll see you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.